tell me about that, what it's been like working with Boeing, and it sounds like you have a very interesting piece of property for this new Part 3 course.
Yes, yes. First of all, for years and years, the late and great Arthur Hills worked with Boeing, and Art always told me, you know, it was a dream client. I mean, you got Stephen Kircher, who is obviously he's the owner, major stockholder, and president of Boeing USA. And Steve went overseas with me several years ago, and we played golf in Ireland. And he's just a great guy. He's a visionary. His resorts are all over the Northeast, Midwest, and the West Coast, too. And Steve, obviously, it's all skiing and golf. And then Bernie Friedrich is his, has been his main man for years, and I've been working closely with him. He's a vice president. So they approached me, both of them, and said, Ray, you know, our existing Part 3 course is meh. It's just there. And I was like, you're right. It's just a bunch of circles cut in here and there. And, you know, I think they had three total bunkers. So we sat down as a group. So you got the architect, Bernie Friedrich, the project manager, vice president, Boeing, and Steve Kircher, and the owner. And we just brainstormed. And all three of us, you know, we said collectively, we listed how many times we've been to the Holy Land, Scotland, Ireland, or even England. And with my MSU class, my ASGCA trips, and my personal trips, I've been to the Holy Land 13 times. And Steve has been 8, and I think Bernie was 7. So collectively, we have a lot of experience over there and a lot of respect. So we said, okay, in this day and age, there are some golfers that just won't have the means to ever go over there, or, you know, fear of flying, economic constraints, they just will never see some of these precious gems. So then we went down a road that you got to be really careful with in golf architecture. I was like, guys, I don't do replicas. I'll have fun with the concept, and I'll be inspired by some green complexes. So they accepted that. They're like, Ray, that's perfect. So each of these holes at Dunbrae were inspired by, you know, a great hole or a concept overseas, or a great hole here in the United States. So hole number one is fashioned the green. Obviously, it's not a double green, but it's the left half. It's the Eden portion at St. Andrews. And then number two, you know, when you go on Golf Club Atlas and you go on Friday, everybody disagrees, where did the punch bowl really start? And it really doesn't matter where it started. It's just there's so many now. It's just the fame. It's a great golf hole, and it's good for a number of reasons, that your ball has to be played carefully off the sides and the back. And the punch bowl at the National Golf Links of America is arguably, you know, one of the famous greens there. But there's a couple punch bowls in England that are absolutely just incredible. So I said, you know, the terrain is such that I can do a punch bowl type concept on number two. Number three has to be credited 100%. You know, I helped with the redesign, but Stephen Kircher. Steve got back from a trip from the National Golf Links and said, Ray, the par three called, you know, the short, is just a great green complex. And the bunkers are absolutely stunning. So he said, can you have a little fun with that? And I said, absolutely. And then number four is the Redan hole. The first really, you know, true Redan is at North Barrack West Golf Links. And then number five is Seth Rayner's, one of his favorite holes, a reverse Redan. And again, I mean, Rory, these are not exact replicas. These are just, they had a little fun with. And then number six, not many people talk about this, and I'm surprised because it's in his literature. Donald Ross, on a number of his designs, did what he calls a volcano hole. And, you know, it is just about what it says. It's just this tall landform that is intimidating as hell. And most of them break off to one side real sharp or both sides. Rory, if you ever get a chance, and I'm invited, I met him at PGA Village last year, and he's going to invite me down because we're doing a number of Ross projects around the country. And obviously, you know, we're doing the Donald Ross Memorial. The Lulu Country Club in Pennsylvania has one of the greatest volcano holes in the United States. So you'd have to look at that and see what I'm talking about. And then obviously Steep is, oh shoot, Rory, I forget what hole it is at Royal County Down that both Steve and I really liked. And it's got the eyebrow bunkers and everything. And number eight is a tribute to the postage stamp at Royal Troon. And the Biarritz hole, the original Biarritz hole, again, goes back to the great course, the North Barrack Golf Links. First time I played that, my playing partner had played it before, and we were in a heavy bet and didn't tell me that green has about a 6-foot chasm in the middle, and I ended up lost the hole because then we laughed about it later over a pint of beer. But the Biarritz in the United States at the Chicago Golf Club that you know very well is probably my favorite Biarritz in the United States. And obviously it's been done many places. So what is the challenge? What challenges did I have in this? As with any short course, where you want to make sure that you create something that's something for everybody. I mean, that's Golf Architecture 101. That's the holy grail. But that's really difficult. I mean, you got to make something that mom and pop can take their 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old son that's just starting golf, or daughter out there, and have fun as a family. And you got to have all the gradations all the way up to low handicap golfers from Oakland Hills going up for a Boyne trip where they're playing, you know, five courses in 5 days, and they want to experience this. So you don't want to serve them plain vanilla ice cream. So you really got to think about, you know, bump and run avenues and this and that. So I think it works really well. It's something for everyone. And when you don't have that experience to experience some of these great golf courses, just because simply you can't get on them, or you can't afford to, or you can't, in some cases, the flights, this will give you a little appreciation. It's, again, they're inspired by these. They're not exact replicas. The challenge I had was I wanted to make sure that this was very walkable, because it's at the bottom of a ski slope. And that's where the old par three course was. So
yeah, you don't want to have people going straight up the hill the whole routing.
No, number one, and really this took about 17 routings to get this where I was satisfied, and I'm my toughest critic. So number one is a gentle handshake. It's slightly uphill. Number two goes uphill, let's see, 10, goes 20 feet uphill, but it's the shortest hole in the course. It's 88 yards from the blue, 73 from the white, 57 from the red, and it's the punch bowl, so everything kicks in. So then you go, after you've gone uphill, number three shoots downhill. Number four, the Redan hole, goes uphill, but not as much as number two. And then number five slightly goes uphill. And it's really almost a level hole. It slightly goes uphill by about 7 feet, so it's very walkable. Number six and seven are dead level holes, dead level, but, you know, in between, from the teeing areas, which I'll explain in a second, to the green, you got great landforms that slope down from tee to the actual green. You know, it's an easy hole to walk. Number eight, the postage stamp is slightly downhill, and then the Biarritz is downhill by 20 feet. So really, you only have two holes in the whole routing going uphill, and one is the shortest on the golf course, number two. And then you've got, you know, all of the sidewalls on the punch bowl that kick it in. And then by the time you go downhill on number three to play the short, the inspiration from the National Golf Links, you're going back uphill. So it's fascinating. And then, you know, I said, guys, I'm not the architect that created this. This is a trend that's been going on in golf architecture for about, I would say about 15 years, where, you know what, let's do away with formal tees. Sure, let's put the colored curvy markers that you can mow over, and, you know, they pop up, pop down with the yardage on it. You have a blue, a white, and a red. So the anal retentive golfers that, I have a scorecard, I'm going to go to that point, I'm going to play it from that point. We have all these flat areas, but the three of us, Bernie, Steve, and I, all agreed that we want golfers to have fun, to be able to say, hey, let's play a game of horse where I get to pick the hole if you win, pick the shot. So you get to play it at these weird angles and options, different yardages. You get to play practice and play uphill lies, downhill lies, flat hill lies, sideways lies. So it's going to have something that'll really help you work on your short game. And then visually, with the natural fine fescue rough kind of flowing in between the holes, it's visually stunning. I'll send you some pictures that Bernie just sent me a while ago. And you have my, I think I sent you my rendering. If not, I'll send you it after this call. But it's so aesthetically pleasing. It's going to be loads of fun. And the Boeing golfers are already talking about this big time. So this is kind of another thing in my portfolio, that all the great projects, as I go on year five next year, working on projects with them, we continue to do great things on the Donald Ross Memorial, tended to improve the Alpine and the Monument. I start a long range master plan next spring on the Alpine course. The three of us are still collaborating on my master plan for Bay Harbor. It's just been loads of fun, Rory. I have great clients, and it's always dangerous, like with children, say, this is my favorite child. Well, with Boeing, this is definitely my favorite client. I mean, they are so fun to work with. I've got other great clients that I love working with, but Boeing, Boeing is at the top of the list.
Well, I'm sure they are. There's always been, you know, really, really good people up there. And
Great people.
Yeah, right. You know what? They've said that this course is going to open next summer. Can you narrow down the timetable a little bit, depending on how harsh winter is?
No, it's depending on how harsh winter is. You gave yourself the answer. It's just whatever. When the snow's gone, see how it fared. I would say it's probably going to open. It's going to open sometime in the summer, early summer, midsummer, late summer.
Okay.
Depending on what Mr. Winter does to us.
Yeah, well, that narrows it down to either June, July, or August.
Yeah, in northern Michigan, it does. Yeah,
I'm sure about that. You know, Ray, I got to ask you, and, you know, part of the reason, for this interview was the new rollback with the golf ball. And it's amazing how many people, especially online, are saying, well, the only people in favor of this are, well, people like yourselves, golf course architects and old school people who belong to a club that's outdated by modern day equipment and are no longer feasible for hosting a championship. So give us your take on what this is going to do and how it may affect you and how you build them, how you design them, and how you renovate them going forward.
Yeah. As you are well aware, highly, highly, highly controversial ruling. And I get emails and texts from people on both sides of the fence. From a logistical perspective, from Golf Course Architecture 101, it's impacted the relevance of a golf course definitely on the PGA Tour level. I mean, those guys, and then the LPGA, they hit it so bloody far where, you know, at times it almost gets boring to watch on TV, that driver wedge, and a driver nine iron, and once in a while, you know, they got to pull out a hybrid or a three iron to hit off the tee. But, you know, to counteract, I'll get into those guys first, those men and women on those two professional tours, then I'll get into the better competitive amateur greats around the country. And then you got Joe and Jane Public and Joe and Jane Everyday Private Golfer that are mid-range to high handicap. So on the upper level, all the statistics I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this is on an average is going to roll the ball back. You know, the debate is still out there. I mean, the statistics are 10 to 15 yards less. That, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But really, I think why they did it, the USGA and the Royal and Ancient, is that, oh my goodness, this is starting to get out of control. Technology is advancing, and it's all right to advance because it's new and exciting. And especially on the mid-range to high handicap level. But, you know, gee whiz, on the upper level, when you have the best men and women in the world, you can't build these dang things long enough now. And if you say, okay, there's a lot of other ways, though, you can make these people stand up and pay attention in golf course architecture. You can make the greens crazy fast, and then you have, you know, situations where maybe it wasn't the right type of grass and wind conditions drying out, and then you have a Chambers Bay situation, and then you have had times at the Masters throughout history where a ball almost would never come to rest, and those few years that happened, it's kind of embarrassing. And then you make the fairways, you know, so narrow and the rough so long, so then it's just these men and women are just hitting it too long. And so Last year, this June, I'm out at Macatel Legends, a private club I designed in my hometown of Holland. I'm at the back of the range watching some Hope College guys that came out for the day. And two of the three were just unbelievably long. I've got my laser finder and they had this. And I was like, holy cow, you guys are hitting it to the back of the range where I have my landforms. And two of them knew me. And it's like, yes, Mr. Earn, you got to start making your ranges longer. And I was like, guys, you're pounding these. And again, it was a weird day. No wind, warm, the ball's jumping. They're hitting it in the air for a 325. And then, you know, those landforms kept it from, you know, rolling outside the range. But for most golfers, that's fine. So with those guys, you know, you're like, what do you do? What do you do? And then I used to do some work in Asia. And I know you've got some Chicago architects that have spent some time in Asia. And for the longest while, the Koreans and the Japanese were in this love affair with length. So if you look at some courses that have been done in the last 20 years, there's some stuff over there that insanely approaches 8,000 yards from the tips, which is just scary to think about. Yeah, I'm certain you could say, well, you've got elevation change. You've got, you know, altitude adjustments. Yeah, that's true. But then you shift, okay, to better golfers like you and club champions at other clubs. So you say, okay, you know, you're getting nicked a little on distance. It's probably on an average, the USGA states, that's not going to be as observable is on the professional level. And then you go to Joe and Jane Public, and yeah, they hit it a little further, but I'll tell you, there is a lot of statistics that just say to the USGA and Royal and Ancient that, hey, why did you have to roll it back for this group, the average golfer and that, because they're really not going to see it. So then it brings up another whole can of worms. Well, how about, you know, those in the industry saying, hey, two of the great cathedrals in golf in the world, Augusta National and the Old Course of St. Andrews, they're going to become irrelevant with, and then, you know, you had just insane distance, like by DeChambeau, Bryson DeChambeau, and then you're like, oh my goodness. So this, obviously, a lot of golf course architects, yeah, this was, you know, this really doesn't hurt the game as bad as these guys are crying. It helps kind of put, like when you have on a golf cart, you have a governor on how fast you can move things. I always say, look at the analogy. What if Major League Baseball years and years ago said, you know what, the hell with it. We're going to start to use allowing aluminum bats. And then, you know, all of a sudden you have a bigger one. You have multi hundred million dollar, nowadays billion dollar stadiums that become irrelevant. So in every sport, you got to govern.